it happened quite well. You paid everything with your blood, and the payment is in your blood. It is a payment of victory for us. And I ask you to let all disease, sickness, and be swallowed up in victory in your blood. And I ask, even death will be swallowed up in victory by your blood. And I ask you for your powerful blood, to be a part of your powerful blood these days, so we can receive the payment of our sickness and disease and everything that is troubling us. And the blood will give us victory in this. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And there is, in coming into your presence, there is nothing in your presence that is unto death. Everything in your presence is unto life, and alive abundantly. And I ask you to draw us into this reality. I ask you to draw us into the reality that Jesus, we can stand in this time and say, silver and gold we does not have, yes, but what you have been giving us, we give, yes, to one another that is in need, in sickness and disease, and is even dying, that we give to that person that you have been giving us. That is the only prosperity that is in this world, to give what you have been giving, so we will be giving more. And I ask you to bring us into this reality, that we stand before one another, for the people, and say, I have nothing else than what God has been giving me by his blood, by his cleansing, powerful blood, and the healing power of his spirit. And I give it to you from my heart. Receive it in Jesus' name, and stand up and be healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Mark?
Yeah.
I just want, this is the book you're mentioning.
Yes, that's the book.
Yeah. Just wanted to show everybody. So.
Yeah, I ordered it. You can order them. They're available online. And it says that over 1 million copies have been published of this little book. What's the name of the authors again, Patty? What? Wayne and Ida, what's the name again?
Hammond.
Hammond. Ida, and what's the husband's name?
Frank and May Hammond.
Frank and May Hammond. Okay, there you go.
Ida May, I'm sorry.
Ida May, yeah. Yeah, I went through that back in the 70s. We had our times of deliverance in those days.
I think we still need deliverance.
Yeah, we still do. Well, let's turn to the word then. What I want to talk about today is God's deliverance and God's provision for us during these coming days. We're coming into some very, very difficult times. And by the way, there are prophets in the world. Did you know that? They're not always right, but the world has their prophets. And sometimes they're right. They're not 100% right like God is, but sometimes they see things coming. And just this week, both Rita and I saw this this news thing. There's a 4-star general that we have in the Army, the U.S. Army. I'm not sure what he's in charge of. Some kind of big defense program. But he has published an article, a prophecy, shall we say, that he believes that the United States is going to be at war with China in 2025. That's only 2 years from now. And he's given all his reasons why it could happen. You see, China wants to have Taiwan as much as Russia wants to have Ukraine. And way back in the days when the communism was being formed and Mao Zedong and all that, apparently there was a man named Chiang Kai-shek that fled from the mainland China and went over to Taiwan. And they have made themselves a separate little nation. And China believes all along that this belongs to them, that they should be ruling over these people. In the same manner that China has taken over Tibet, has taken over Mongolia. These really are separate people, but they've come under the dominion of China. And that big Chinese bear, whatever you want to call it, it wants to devour again. And they have not given up on their idea that they... In fact, they want the whole South China Sea. They would have the Philippines. They would have all these islands. So this spirit is at move again. And we see that I've spent, how many weeks have we spent already going through the word of what's coming? What is coming? What is on the horizon? What does this mean, the great and terrible day of the Lord? And the question we have to ask is, well, what will happen to us Christians? What will happen to us believers during this time? And of course, the answer to most of the church denominations, the church business, is that we'll be caught away, we'll be raptured away, we won't be here. I've had quite a number of people talk to me in the past. They don't talk to me about it anymore. But I remember back when I was quite a bit younger than I am today, when these end time things would come up and I'd begin a discussion with somebody, and the discussion usually ended with, well, we don't have to worry about that because we're not going to be here. Now, as I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking, well, why did God spend so much time, shall we call it time, so much space in the Bible telling us about something that we don't need to know anything about? Why would he waste all that time? Is all this for the unredeemed? Is all this for the sinners who really are not going to be reading it anyway when this great and terrible day of the Lord comes? Why is all this there? It's for us. It's to warn us. It's so that we can prepare and so that we will go into the Word and find that God has made a provision for us. So let us go into the Word today and see what provision God has made for us. I'll go to, first of all, let's go to the book of Luke, and we're going to be looking at Luke, the 21st chapter, and let's look at about verse, let's see, Luke 21, I have verse 36. Did I get it right? No, that's not right. Oh, I don't have Luke 21. Yeah, when I get Luke 21, it's the right verse. Let's start with verse 34. Now, this is Luke's end time discourse that Jesus is giving with his disciples. It's equivalent to Matthew 24. And Jesus is saying here, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. Overcharged. Amen, brethren. Overcharged. What does that mean? It means weighted down. Let your hearts be weighted down with what kind of things? With surfeiting. Okay? That's following the path of the world. Carousing. Okay? Drunkenness. Now that includes, by the way, these aren't just natural things. These are spiritual things as well. Drunkenness includes drinking of doctrines that put us in a state of mind that we say, oh, we don't have anything to worry about. The rapture doctrine is a doctrine of drunkenness, if you want to ask me. It puts you in a stupor. Amen? Drunkenness, the cares of this life. Now, everybody has this life to go through. Everybody has issues of life. We have to keep the income flowing. We have to pay the bills. We have to get the food. We have to prepare the food. All these things, cares of this life. Amen? But don't let these things weigh you down. In other words, here it is. Let's go through it. But let's not focus everything on it. The cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. In other words, you'll be in a spiritual state of stupor, and you'll be focused only on the natural things of life, the things with your children, the things with your grandchildren, the things of your marriage, the things of what you want to do in life, the things of your career, the things of your job. You'll be so focused on that this day, he's talking about a day, amen, that day come upon you unawares. Now that day is not necessarily just a 24-hour day, you know, begins at midnight on a certain day, and no, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a season of time. And brethren, I have every reason to believe the signs that we're seeing is that the day of the Lord is at hand. Amen? Now, I'm not saying we're in the 3.5-year period of great tribulation. I'm not saying that. I don't believe we are yet. Because according to what Paul has said in Thessalonians, the man of sin has not yet made his appearance. He has not yet proclaimed that he's the big one. All right, so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. This word snare is a very interesting word. I believe David used that word in Psalm 91. We'll be getting to that maybe later if we have time. Psalm 91, the snare of the fowler. Remember what David said about the snare of the fowler? Delivered from the snare of the fowler. So these are traps. These are things meant to deceive us and trap us and snare us and entangle us in things that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Amen? Don't let your feet get caught into these things. Don't let your lifestyle get caught in activities and hobbies and things. By the way, speaking of not letting yourself be caught in things, we see that there's some kind of a mass shooting going on now, at least every week. Somewhere here, somebody gets a gun out and tries to shoot as many people as he can. I'm thinking, Lord, how can we not be in a situation like this? Well, here's my advice, and I believe this is what the Lord would have us to know. Brethren, we need to be very careful where we go and where we are. Where these things are happening is in places of the world where the world gathers, the world entertainment in bars, in dance halls, in concerts, so to speak, concerts of the world, parades, this type of thing that the world is carrying on. How many years ago was it that a man went into the church in Colorado and he began to shoot people in that church? Do you remember that, Mike? Do you remember that? And you know, there are people that we know, families of people we know, that were in that church. And the Lord kind of showed me at that time, this is an outer court church that this happened in. This is not a holy place church. And you do not have the protection, brethren, in these outer court churches. I don't know what's going to happen, but it showed us at that time. Now, what's happening in some of these outer court churches is that their security men are bringing guns into the church, inside of their jacket, concealed carry. And in New York, the governor got the legislators to make a new law after the Supreme Court struck down the one that we had about concealed carry, and they made a new one, and it was even more restrictive. And one of the restrictions of the new law was that you couldn't have a gun in church. Well, a bunch of church people, and in not only in New York, but they brought a lawsuit against this thing, and another judge has declared it unconstitutional. And some of these pastors that are saying, well, we need to have guns in church, you know, because these evil men might come in. Brethren, I want to say this. If we can't depend on the Lord in our gathering together to protect us and keep us, what can we depend on? You know, the Lord said, if you take up the sword, you're going to die by the sword. So if you want to take up your pistols into church, you can expect that maybe that's the way you're going to come to your end. I don't want to come to that end that way. I want the Lord's favor upon us. If the Lord wants us to gather, then he should protect us in our gathering. Of course, in this Zoom now, we don't have to worry about that because we're scattered all over the globe this morning. Amen. Well, anyway, let me go on with this word. As a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Where is there a place on the face of this earth that you will not be influenced by this great and terrible day of the Lord? Is there a hidden island somewhere? Is there a secret cave in Montana somewhere that we can go to? Maybe in Alaska somewhere. Maybe in northern Canada we can find a place. No, Jesus said it will cover the whole face of the earth. Amen? There is no place to escape. You know, I have to admit that back in the 70s, when I first began to understand some of this end time message, and before I began to understand what the enemy could really do, I thought to myself, well, you know, we can really get away from all this. We're just going to be keeping a low profile. We're going to have a little place out here. We're going to be, you know what I mean? We're going to be off the grid. Well, I never got off the grid, by the way. But we had that kind of thinking in us that somebody's going to beat this system in the natural realm. No, you're not going to beat this thing in the natural realm. It's going to cover the whole earth. So watch ye therefore and pray always. What? Now this is Jesus talking, brethren. And Jesus talking is the same as if it were God from the throne of heaven talking to us. It's the same thing. He said, I don't say anything unless the Father says it. All right. Watch ye therefore and pray. Now, I know how to pray. Do you know how to pray? Do you know how to watch? Have we ever had teaching on how to watch? Well, what is it? It shouldn't be that complicated. It's keeping alert. It's keeping from being drunk, subdued, keeping your mind. And how do we do that? By keeping the word of God. By keeping the life. By keeping, by remaining, staying, okay? That watch and pray that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Now, Jesus said that there is a way of escape. Jesus said there is a way. No, it's not in a secret mountain hideaway. It's not on some South Pacific island somewhere that nobody has ever yet discovered. It's not going to be in Antarctica. No, he said there is a way of escape. And he said, pray and watch that ye be counted worthy. What does it mean to be counted worthy? Amen. What would make you worthy of escape? Anybody have any ideas? Nobody's going to volunteer. Okay. Let me.
I'll volunteer.
Okay, go ahead, Larry.
To me, to be counted worthy is to be judged righteous.
To be judged righteous. Okay. There's a verse in Revelation chapter 3 that I think says almost the same thing. So let's look at Revelation chapter 3 for just this verse here. And this passage, it's going to be verse 10, I believe it is. This is the message to the Church of Philadelphia, okay? Now, if you were any of these churches, which one would you want to be? Would you want to be Laodicea? No? Well, I think Laodicea describes probably, I'll just say 90% of the churches today. Modern have need of nothing. But let's go to Philadelphia. Now he says here in verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. So there's a condition here. Because you have kept the word of my patience. What's that mean? Patience is what? Is it a fruit of the Spirit? Okay. So in other words, we have to have the life of Christ in us. The word of Christ, the word of patience, the fruit of the Spirit, the life blood of Jesus. Because you have kept the word of my patience, what does it say? I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which will come upon all the world again, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now that's quite clear. All right. That includes all the natural earth, as well as all the carnal earth. There's coming something to try. Every one of us is going to be put under a trial. How are we going to come through that trial? We're going to come through with patience. Now, if we just throw up our hands and say, well, I just can't take this. I'm not You know, we're going to be among the foolish virgins if we do that. So this is a very interesting word here. Keep thee from. Can I give you a definition of that word from? Keep you from. Here's what it means. It means out of the midst of, either by immunity or by being brought safely through. Now, that's a man by the name of Henry Alford, who I believe is probably dead by now, and was apparently a Bible scholar some years ago. And I suspect he was probably a Baptist as well, a Calvinist at least. But he gave this definition. Now, if this is what Jesus said, he said two things. He said, escape these things, and kept from these things. So this word kept means, really, it means the same thing. It means out of the midst of. So if you're in the midst of something and you're kept from it, you either come safely through or you're immune to what's happening around you. Now, the things that we've been talking about, you'll have to try to imagine yourself in the midst of this. In the midst of this, there is something that, a provision that God has made. If you will take the provision, there's a provision he's made to protect you and keep you. All right, let's look at some of these passages. Well, I have 16. Oh, okay. That's the meaning of that word escape. It means the same thing almost. Let me look at another verse here. Isaiah. We go back to Brother Isaiah again for a minute. Isaiah 26. Now, before we moved, when we were still at the other house, several years ago, I came out in the kitchen one day, and I looked at the refrigerator, and there was a little note on the refrigerator. My wife, Sister Rita, had taken this verse from Isaiah 26:20, and she wrote it on the refrigerator. How long ago was that, Rita? Do you remember? It's been a while, she says. Okay. So let us read this verse, and maybe you want to put this on your refrigerator or somewhere we're going to see it every day. Because we need to know this, brethren. We need to know that God has made provision for us. Now, if we don't take that provision, he's not obliged to protect us. But he has made a provision for us. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. Shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be over past. Now, that is not a rapture. That is not a pre-trib rapture that we're talking about here. Every verse that I've seen so far says that we're going to be in the midst of it. We're not going to be caught away before it starts. And we'll be off on some cloud somewhere looking down at those poor people. I remember somebody saying that they were going to be eating chicken on that cloud, you know, at a big table, and they were going to throw the bones over the side, and they would fall down to the earth to those other poor people that weren't caught away. That's not the way it is here. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers. What is this term of thy chambers? It's a very similar expression that is used of the five virgins. What did they enter into? They entered into a chamber. A chamber is a secret place. A chamber in biblical language sort of speaks of a bedroom, a private place, a place shut off from the rest of the house, that one can be alone and in a private place, intimate place perhaps. So intimate with Christ. So enter into this chamber with Christ. Shut the door. There's that term, shut the door. Now, what was Isaiah seeing here? Isaiah was hearing the word of God. I don't think Isaiah knew what he was saying. I don't think he understood everything that he was writing here, but he knew the Spirit of God was upon him. Shut the doors about thee. Hide thyself. In other words, you had to be in a hidden place where you were protected from the storm that was all about you. It speaks of something like the time of Noah. Was Noah not, and his family, were they not hidden in a chamber, in a secret place? Shut the door. The door was shut. God shut that door. Okay. You know, God, I was going to say God is in charge of the door, but now I'm going to go one step further and say he is the door. He is the door. There's no way to get in except through him. Amen. This chamber, you come in through him, and then you are in him. You're in Christ. You have to have a spiritual understanding to understand that. In the natural, you can never figure that out. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. In other words, this is not a permanent thing. This is not going to last forever. This has a beginning and it has an end. For a little moment, until the indignation. What indignation? Whose indignation? Who's indignant about this? This is the wrath of God being poured out, consuming the vile, the crooked, the wickedness, the rebellion that has covered the earth. This is the indignation. God has held his patience for 6,000 years. He's held back. He's waited. He's waited for sons of God to take hold of the word and to say, look, we want to be like you. We don't want to be like the devil. We don't want to follow his ways. We're ready to bring your kingdom onto this earth. So until this thing, until this indignation is passed, and until this retribution of God has cleansed all the earth, then it's over. And then a new kingdom. All right, let me read the next verse. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish. To punish what? The inhabitants of the earth. That's quite clear. The inhabitants of the earth. For their iniquity, the earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Oh my goodness. There has been so much of that. So much. You know, there's a lot of covered up murder that's taken place. And you know, it isn't just these robbers and thieves and thugs, drug addicts. They're not the only ones involved. It has been powerful people that have been involved in these things, powerful politicians that have been involved in this. All right, that's one of the passages that I wanted to read. Hide thyself. Let me go to another verse here. I wanted to go to Psalm 91, but let me take another detour. Revelation chapter 7, verse 3. Now, I, I've read this before, but every time I hear about these things that are coming on the earth, my mind comes back to these verses here. And I saw an angel ascending from the east. Let me go back even further. I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. This is happening right now as we speak. Four angels standing on four corners of the earth. Now you know the earth isn't square. You know that there's spiritual language here. The earth does not have four corners in the natural, but it has four spiritual corners. Amen. It has four directions. It has northeast, southwest. These directions all represent something different, some different kind of peril. It represents the human soul as well, holding back something terrible that is coming against the human soul. This is why Jesus said that we not be overcharged, that our soul be not overcharged with these cares of the earth, with these distractions that would keep us away. So the four corners of our earth, as well as the natural earth, as well as holding back on the nations, you know, how many of you believe that God is in charge of Putin? Amen? You know, Sonia, you're living right there in the shadow of Ukraine there. It's only a few miles away. I was talking to Christina. Rita and I were talking to her on the phone, on the Viber yesterday. And she was telling us about how the brethren in the fellowship there loaded up a big van. There's big trucks of food and vans of food that are going across the border, across Poland, over into Ukraine, and delivering goods to these dear brethren that are over in Ukraine that are facing this horrible war that's been going on for a year now. It's going on for a year. How many of you believe though that God is in charge of Putin? The man has nukes. He could be using them, but something is holding him back. How many of you believe that God is holding this man of North Korea back? How many of you believe that God is holding the Chinese government back? They have the same goals. They have the same aims that Putin has. And not only there, but Ethiopia, there's warring going on there. There's spirits that want to come out. They want to kill. They want blood. And, you know, Satan feeds on blood. He feeds on the life of people. Amen. What did the Lord say to him in the garden? He said that dust was to be his food. Well, man is made of dust. And so Satan gets his life when he can take life from men. Satan also gets life when he can get a Christian to fall, when he can get them to wallow in sin and go down into sin. When the stars fall, when great men of God fall into carnality, Satan gets a big meal out of that. Amen? And there was just another one just this week again, that there was a big, the FBI had a big prostitution sting from the internet. And wouldn't you know, a pastor from somewhere, some big church, a youth pastor got caught in that thing. And I'm thinking, there goes another star. Star has fallen. Satan's getting a big meal out of that again. No, he's probably been getting it all along. So let me go to, and I saw another angel. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't finish here. Holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth. All right, there's your carnal Christian, carnal church, carnal Christian. He's holding these winds of adversity, winds of political change, winds of, you know, these are the kind of winds that blow, that cause demonstrations in cities. Demonstrations for justice, demonstrations for LGBTQ and whatever, demonstrations for abortion, demonstration. These are winds that are blowing. They're stirring up the sea. The sea is foaming. It's a dirt and filth all over the place. But it's holding back some of these winds, holding on the earth, nor on the sea. All right, so it's being held on the unredeemed as well. Nor any tree. Now there's your strong Christian. There's your sons of God. So these winds are being held back, brethren. We're not feeling those winds yet. Until when? What is holding all this back? Amen. And I saw another angel ascending from the east. Where do angels come from? Do angels ascend or do angels descend? Well, angels from heaven, from the throne of God, they descend. They come down to where we are because they live in a higher realm. They live in a very high spiritual realm. But here's an angel now that is coming up. Coming up from where? Ascending from the east. You've heard me say this before, haven't you? Where's this angel coming from? East. This angel is coming from the mind of God, from the east, from the rising of the sun, the east, the mind of God, bringing the word of God to us. So this is an earth angel, shall we say, amen, ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Now, this is not, how do I say this? This is not a one-man angel. An angel, by the way, the word angel means messenger, okay? It can be an earth messenger or it can be a heavenly messenger. Second and third chapter of Revelation are to the angels of the seven churches. In other words, they're to men. They're to someone who had significant business over these seven churches, human beings. So this is a human ministry, but not a one-man ministry. This is a ministry that has the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. So this angel is bringing the seal of God. What is the seal of God, and how will that seal of God keep and protect us, and is being held back? All this great and terrible events of the day of the Lord are being held back until the servants of God can be sealed in their forehead. Now the forehead is the mind, okay? And we are being sealed because we are being given the true word of God. God is waiting for that word to be sealed in you. When it's sealed, it's settled. You're not going to waver. You're not going to be wishy-washy. Your life is going to conform to the word. Amen. How are you going to be sealed? This message that not only we preach, others preach it as well. This message is the seal of the living God. If you receive that, then you will be prepared to go through whatever is going to be released. Those four angels that are at the four corners, those are God's angels. God's in charge. When he says they can be released, then they'll be released. So we have to know that we can be in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. All right. And I heard the number that was sealed, 144,000. We're not going to go into that today. That's a spiritual number. But you know what? It could be a natural number as well. I never tried to figure out how many nations are there in this world. I don't know, but 144,000 is a lot of people.
There's 195 nations.
195 nations. All right. So
not counting the body of Christ, which I consider to be a nation in the world, but not of the world.
So if this number were equally distributed, there'd be what? 100,000 for each nation. That's a lot of influence, brother. God has a lot. No, there could be many more than that. I don't want to get involved in the natural number, but it's a spiritual number. 12 times 12 is 144. Amen. All right, let me go to, I want to go to another example. Exodus 12. Now, what was happening in the days of Moses? We're just going through some of the examples here. Exodus 12. And let me read a couple verses here. Verses 12, okay? For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt. Now, the spiritual meaning here of the firstborn, this happened in the natural, by the way. It happened in the real. But in a spiritual sense, the firstborn are what? They're the captains. They're the leaders. They're the presidents. They're the ones who are in charge. They're the industry captains. They're the millionaires, the billionaires, the what have you. Men of great influence, men and women of great influence. I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. Okay, night speaks of what? Speaks of time of great darkness. This night, and I will smite the firstborn of the land of Egypt. Egypt is the world, of course. Now, this is a prophetic. It happened in the real, in the natural, but it's also a prophetic word for our future. Both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. How many of you believe there are a lot of gods out there that the Lord is still ready to execute judgment on? Come on, don't tell me you don't believe that we have gods. We don't call them gods. We probably don't carve little figures, but you know what? They're on our television. People have gods of sports. They have gods and goddesses. And oh, they keep very close track of these. They have to know everything that's happening to them. Every little argument that they have. Oh, poor Harry, poor Meghan, whatever. You know, come on. People are watching their gods. These sports stars. Guy gets injured. Has a heart attack or something out on the field. Now, I don't know what condition the guy is in, but for days and days and days, you hear nothing about how's this guy doing? He's in the hospital. I mean, people are so, you know, they have to watch. Sunday afternoon, have to watch that football game, a big Super Bowl. Oh, it's a big thing. The stores all sell all kinds of snacks and goods and things so that we can have big parties. And people are going through the checkout lines with with great big packs of beer, you know, real necessities, you know, so they can get through the Sunday afternoon. You know, it's God's. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. So God is going to execute judgment upon all the land of Egypt and upon all its gods. Amen. I remember hearing a man, a prophet, years ago. I don't have any idea who he was, but when he said it, I thought, oh my goodness. He said, you know what? He says, these big stadiums that they've spent millions and millions of dollars, he said, they're going to be totally empty. Nobody there. Nobody there. I don't know if it's true or not. Maybe God will use those stadiums for something else. Maybe God has a place that he can gather people. These play, Jeremy, you know something about these stadiums. How many people do they hold?
Oh, the big ones. Hundreds of thousands, I would think. I don't really get into sports, but I would think at least 100,000 people.
Anybody here know what they hold? You know, and then something else. I heard that the prices of sitting in one of these games, people pay as much as $400. Maybe Cody knows. Maybe Cody keeps track of that stuff. $100, $200, $300, $400 to sit in one of these stadiums. Tell me that's not God. That's not a God. If you're willing to put out $400 to have a choice seat where your star can be before your very own eyes, and you can worship at that event. Anyway, God knows how to pull down the gods. All right, so when he's going to be doing this, see, God is going to be coming against all other gods. Whatever they had in Egypt, we have ours today. They're different. They're tailored for our generation. Amen? And the blood, amen, and the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are. The blood. Where did they put the blood? Upon the top, the lintel, upon the side posts. Amen? That was a natural house. What about your spiritual house? Where is the blood? Where's the blood of Jesus? Are you covered by the blood? Amen. Brother Daniel prayed the blood in his prayer this morning as we opened. Amen. The blood of Jesus makes provision for all that we need, for healing, for deliverance, for forgiveness, for cleansing our conscience. Oh my, the conscience needs to be cleansed. Anyway, put the blood upon your house. Put it upon this spiritual house. This house. Amen. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The Lord smote the land of Egypt. He's going to smite Egypt again. One other verse here in this same chapter. Let's go to verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts. The Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto you, your houses, to smite you. So why are we in the secret place? Why are we hidden in the chamber? Is because the destroyer is being let loose. The destroyer spirit. Remember in the book of Revelation, he's being let loose from Abaddon, from Apollyon, the destroyer. And this is that same word. It's in the Old Testament here, but it's in the New Testament. It's given as a Hebrew word, and it's given as a Greek word, both. That thing is going to be released from the abyss. Amen? From the bottomless pit. There, I believe, brethren, there is a very wicked, wicked devil, probably almost equal to Satan himself, that's being bound in the abyss. And when that thing is let loose, oh, God help us. We need to be in the place. God has made provision for us, brethren, and he doesn't have to remove us from the earth. But we need to be in that provision. Let me go to, I want to read just that verse in Matthew 24 again. Matthew 25. Just one verse. Sometimes just reading the verse brings the life out of it. I've discovered that. You can think about a verse and you get a certain amount of life out of it, but to go and read it and to say the word out loud brings a different level of life to you from it. That's why sometimes when I see Rita reading the Bible, I say, "Oh, Rita, would you read me a couple chapters while you're at it?" So I like to hear it. I like to hear the sound of it. Amen. So here it is in Matthew 25, and we're going to be looking at one particular verse here, verse 10. And while they went to buy, this is the foolish virgin, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. They went into the chambers and shut, the door was shut about them. The door was shut accomplished two things. It preserved what was inside, they were sealed in. What was outside, they were sealed from it. It was not able to come and destroy them in any manner. So the sealing, we need to spend an hour on each one of these subjects. We could easily. The sealing, amen, the mind, the head of the soul, amen. We need to have our soul settled in Christ, sealed. Look at Ezekiel. We could spend a lot of time in Ezekiel chapter 8. Amen? Where he saw the sealing of the saints. And what was the criteria of those that got sealed? Who was to get the seal upon the forehead? In Ezekiel chapter 8. Come on, help me out here. Who was to get it? Those who sigh and cry for the abomination what? Of the world? No, the abomination that takes place in the holy place. So, brethren, yes, let us cry out at the abomination of the world, but let us cry out also and be disgusted with the abomination that's taking place in the church. God needs to bring a judgment to this. Finally, let me see how we're going with time here. There's so much here. Give you another example of where God has made provision. I'm just going over this quickly here today, and we can spend a lot of time at some other time. Let me go over to 1 Kings chapter 17. Here's a provision that God has made again. And I'm very aware of this because he spoke this word specifically to me 20 years ago, he said, I have commanded a widow to sustain you. Now, that hasn't come to pass in fullness in my life yet. Oh, a little here, a little there. But never have I been in a place where I am 100% sustained by the divine hand of the widow's house. Let me read this one verse, verse 16. Here it is. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Brethren, I believe that this is a prophecy again, not only of Elijah's time, but a prophecy of our time. There's something coming in our generation that has not been known ever since the foundation of the world. Something so terrible. Now, I think the flood must have been pretty bad. I think the thing that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, that must have been pretty bad for old Lot. Abraham saw this thing happening. It must have been pretty bad. But you know what? There's something even worse happening. I have read a lot of history about what the people of Europe went through. World War II. I think that was pretty bad. Pretty bad to have lived at that time. But there's something else coming. And God, the point is here, God has made a provision. Let me end with this. And again, like I said, we should spend a whole hour on each one of these passages. Psalm 91. Psalm 90, you know this one. You know this by heart. Here's another one you should put on your refrigerator door. Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Where is the place that we can find refuge? Where is it? It's nothing you'll find on your GPS. It's in the secret place of the Most High. It's coming into Christ. Amen. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. There's that word snare again. It's a trap. It's meant to catch you, to catch your mind, to catch your feet. See that ye be not deceived. How many times did Jesus say that? Time and time and time again. Great deception coming upon the earth. Amen. The snare of the fowler. And from the noisome pestilence. We're hearing about plagues. We're hearing about COVIDs. We're hearing about this and that disease coming. Disease is probably being created in laboratories. Who knows? He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You know, about 30 years ago. Amen. We're going to come back over this, Brother Felix. Amen. We're going to come back again. About 30 years ago, we were, maybe it was more than 30 years. Yeah, 30, 35 years ago. When we lived in Balsam Spa, and we had about 4 acres there, and we decided we're going to have some chickens. So we had some red hens. They were Plymouth Rock, I think they were what they were called, and most of the chickens today, it's been bred out of them. the natural thing to sit on eggs and hatch eggs. In fact, of all, we had 10 or 12 hens, and only one of them had that instinct in them anymore, because they've been, eggs have been produced in little cages now, and the hen has no more connection to the egg. And egg rolls away and it's collected and sold in stores. But we thought, well, let's do it the old fashioned way. Well, one of the hens actually sat on some eggs and hatched them. We had some roosters around too. And our children were kind of teenagers at that time. And we had a little barn, and the hen and her little chicks ran around in the yard picking up bugs and things like that. And Janet was out one day, and flying over the way up in the cloud, way up above, a hawk would come by. You know, these red-tailed hawks, and they like to catch chickens and snatch them and take them off. Well, one day I was watching this hen, and all of a sudden she starts calling to her chicks, click, 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 click. And the language the little chicks knew, and she called them right over to the edge of the barn underneath the overhang, and she pulled them all under her wings, and she spread her wings sort of like in a pattern like this up against, and every little baby was under. I thought, what's going on? What's happening? And I look up, and the hawk is flying, and he's coming closer. Now, what was this hen doing? She wasn't thinking about it. It was probably just her instinct to do so, but she was going to give her life to protect her babies. The hawk could only see her. If he was going to take anything, he'd take her and leave the babies. Well, probably because I was out there, the hawk wasn't going to take me on. I was a little bit bigger than the hawk. So here is the picture again. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. That eagle, that hawk, is not going to come and get you, because you're going to be under the wings of Jesus Christ. He'll give his life for you, that Satan can't have you. He did give his life for you. He gave the blood that you can be protected. He made a provision, brethren, that we will not be taken. Now, there is so much here. I thought maybe we'd take this one up. Oh, we've gone over an hour. Let's do this another time, should we? Psalm 91, and then let's go into more detail on some of these others. But what I want to say is, there is a provision. There's a provision. If God is going to allow all hell to break loose on the earth, then he's obliged to make a provision for us. However, if we don't take what's provided, he's not obliged to protect us. I'm talking about in the natural realm. Now, those who are not protected in the natural realm, the grass, the trees that are taken, whatever, they can still be saved, because whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But it's going to be pretty nasty, and I don't know when it's going to start. One man that thinks he's a prophet said he thinks it's going to start in this spring. I don't know. I said, brother, you're really stepping out on the line there to say a thing like that. Well, he didn't go and announce it publicly. But now this general, he's making a prophecy. He's a man of the world. I don't know that I believe him or not, but what he's saying is there are signs that the day of the Lord is at hand. We need to come into the provision that God has made for us. And let me tell you, brethren, it is not a natural provision. It is a spiritual provision, but it can keep us from natural things that are coming. So I think maybe I shall cease with the word at this point, and I leave the recording open because I know that you need to add some things to it that I should have said.
Amen. Thank you for this word, Mark. Well, what is in my mind is that we will overcome. And the reason for that we will overcome is because when we see the beast nature rising up in earth, he have made a powerful work through his blood and through his spirit within us. And it have caused us to have a victory over the beast nature that was inside of us.
Yes.
And when we have a victory over the beast within, we are trained to have a victory over the beast without. That is really what we need to see. But look at what he says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. That is what really came to me when you were speaking. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come the salvation and the strength and the kingdom of our God and the king and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, with accusing them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So when we are having his blood and we are giving our testimony, we are having a victory over him. We need both. We need his blood and we need our testimony. And in verse 12, he says, "We therefore rejoice, ye heaven, and ye that dwell in them." He is speaking to us. We dwell in heavenly.
Yes, heaven. Yes.
We are our citizens of heaven. We are this new nation that Larry was saying, the nation that is not counted in United Nations. We are one nation. And when we see it in, I think it's in Psalm 106 and verse 5, he says, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory within thy inheritance. We are in his inheritance. And he says also in Psalm 33, and I am always blessed to read this because this is a word from God that stands forever and ever and ever. He says in Psalm 33 and verse 9, for he speak, and it was done. Mm. He commanded and it stood fast.
Mm.
There was nothing to add to it. It was nothing more or less. He had spoken and it was it. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Blessing.
I was just going to comment on a couple things. We heard in two separate scriptures today that there was a point made that this thing was going to come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. And I want to ask us all a question. Is that where you dwell? Is that where we dwell on the face of the earth? And, you know, Jesus one time said, where I am, there ye may be also. And where was he? He was on the face of the earth, but that's not where he was dwelling. He was dwelling where Daniel just talked about, in the heavenly realm. And that's the place we really need to dwell, you know, is we can be on this earth, but we can be in another place at the same time. And I've talked to a lot of people about talking to them possibly about something that they're not doing right with God, or whatever, however you want to say it, you know, and they'll quote me this verse, all you do is condemn, you know. Haven't you ever read the scripture that says there's therefore now no condemnation? And I thought to myself, well, you stopped a little too soon, because it says there's therefore no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus, which just cuts out a lot of people. We have to be in Christ Jesus to not have that condemnation. And, you know, a lot of people will talk about this thing that's going to come on the earth. Like, they'll say, well, you know, what are we going to do? I mean, we have to eat. And what came to my mind was, you know, God had crows bring food to Elijah. I mean, he can surely do it. You know, we can, if we're in that place, God is going to be faithful, and we don't even know how he's going to do it, and we don't have to know how he's going to do it, but he is going to provide somehow, some way. He is going to provide for us.
Yeah. And the last part of that verse that Daniel was reading, they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, if you've had death, you have an advantage over a lot of other people. 20 years ago, the Lord spoke to me on the way to the hospital and said, for you are dead. And I heard Patty tell Rita this morning, she came on early, she was telling about she died. Did you die, Patty? You're nodding your head yes. You want to say any more about it? No. Okay. Just that you had, so you can consider yourself dead now, and you're qualified now to overcome. You have the blood, you have your testimony, and now you have your death. Amen? And Satan cannot threaten you anymore. Once you're dead, you're dead. Make my day, you know? Give me your best shot.
It does take away a lot of the fear of death.
Yes, it does.
In fact, I asked Wayne when I came back. I said, Wayne, why did you call me back? I wanted to be with the Lord. Amen.
So there's no fear of death anymore.
Well, in other words, I can't say it's completely gone, because the devil, you know, is there and he's always speaking.
Yeah.
So, but I have counters to him. I can say I already died.
So what's the worst thing that could happen?
Yeah.
Is death.
It does.
All right. I've been there already. It's not so bad. It's going to be a good place to cross over.
Talking about death, you know, the scripture makes it clear. Paul said that when Christ died, we died. When he was buried, we also were buried. And when he was resurrected, we too were resurrected onto new life. So, you know, I guess, you know, in experientially, except for couple of people today, we haven't experienced that in the fullness, but spiritually we are already dead and resurrected in Christ. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, Mark, when you were talking about the hen gathering her chicks, I guess I know where I'm going, but for me to pass on and leave my children and my grandchildren behind, I'd like to know that where they're going in the time of tribulation too. So I understand and I can relate to that hen. And to gather my children and my grandchildren under my wings. And that's where I would like to know in the time of my crossing over where they will be. And Daniel, when I'm looking at you and Vinny, I know this is probably off the top of maybe not what we're talking about, but I really have a sense for your child, for your daughter, all will be well. That's the feeling I have in my spirit, that your prayers are being answered and your daughter will make it through. That's what I feel in my spirit that God is showing me. They're going to make it. She is going to make it.
Amen. Well, we have Brother Victor, who is in France. Oh, did Daniel? I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Well, I receive it, Madeleine, and I'm so blessed by this, because I think the Lord have shown me this too, and it is included your children and all of our children. It is so simple that even though Job lost all his children, he had making sacrifice for them. So when we look into the history in our carnal reading, we see, oh, the enemy took them, but he didn't took them, because Job had made a sacrifice for them. Mm-hmm. And because he made a sacrifice for them, they were in the hand of God. And that is what we are doing when we pray for our children and praying for our family. We are making sacrifice for them, and we are putting them into his hand. And when he take hold of them, he will never let loose of what we are giving him. And when we join together again in this beautiful nation, that is the last nation on earth, only nation, that is the nation of Christ, then we are all in the same resurrection, all in same life, all in same things. We have a one voice, one body, one mind. We are in fullness of oneness. And we should never let loose of it.
Now, I'm reminded of the scripture in Isaiah that says, thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. And I think that speaks to us, the in the body of Christ, that God hears our prayers. And again, in Psalms, it says that he will give us the desires of our heart. And I don't think he's gonna leave our children out. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, I was just saying that we have Victor, who is in France now, and other African brethren. You guys have been pretty quiet here today. If the Lord has given you something to share, please do so.
Praise God, brethren. There's nothing right now laid in my heart to share in particular. Rather, I would want to say I thank God for the opportunity to fellowship, because currently the phase of studies that I have at this stage right now is quite intensive, and I never knew that I would barely have time to sacrifice to have fellowship. Last week especially was really tough to make out time because I had a very serious test. But this weekend, I do not have a test probably until Friday. So I thank God for the opportunity and would of course seek prayers for God to strengthen me, to grant me the grace to desire Him. Because obviously where I am, the colleagues I have, no one really makes mention of God that often. No one really has anything encouraging to offer. Rather, I'm faced with, let me just use the word, a whole lot of corruption, everything that brings corruption on a daily basis. And to escape such, I should be ready to sacrifice time and be desirous of such opportunities to be in fellowship. Amen. That's why I think I...
Victor, are your lessons in French?
No, in English.
In English. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody could pray for Brother Victor here. I just sense that he's all alone out there in the midst of darkness, and just ask the Lord to bring the light into his soul.
Okay. Lord, we just thank you for Annie. Victor. Thank you for Victor, for the privilege of having him in fellowship with us today. Lord, we are grateful to you for bringing him. Lord, we remember Joseph was in Egypt, a young man like Annie, surrounded by Potiphar's wife, who was such a corrupted woman and wanted to defile this young man. But Joseph proposed in his heart, said, how can I do this wickedness and sin against my God? Lord, that which you